You know what was on the jukebox in the front. Now Matt the Cat's gonna show you what was on the juke in the back.
Baby, welcome to another Juke in the Back, 1940s and 50s rhythm and blues, the soul that came before rock and roll. I'm your jukebox operator, Matt the Cat, and I'm about to dust off a whole box of old 78 RPM records and spin them for you, baby. These are the building blocks of rock and roll, and on this week's program, we're really going to get down to those building blocks of rock and roll, featuring the most important and influential rhythm and blues vocal group of the post-World War II era. The Orioles from Baltimore, featuring the fantabulous voice of Sonny Till, probably the greatest voice on record in the late 1940s. He would be vocally dethroned by Clyde McFanner in the early 50s, but for a couple of years, Sonny Till and the Orioles were on the top of their game, recording for Jubilee Records, and those are the records I'm going to feature this week on the Juke in the Back, the great early Jubilee recordings. There were about four different incarnations of the Orioles. We're going to focus on the very first Orioles group. It's coming up in just a moment. But before I dig deep into the Orioles' wonderful catalog, let's open up the show with a cat who heavily influenced the singing of Sonny Till. Now, throughout his life, Sonny cited many influences, but the guy he always went back to in interviews was Nat King Cole. So let's begin this week's show with a song that definitely inspired Sonny Till. It's the King Cole Trio's 1946 recording of I Love You for Sentimental Reasons. It went right to the top of the pop charts in 1946 and went to number 3 on the R&B lists. Here's the King Cole Trio with I Love You for Sentimental Reasons, right here on the Juke in the Back, the soul that came before rock and roll.
For sentimental reasons, I hope you do believe me. I'll give you my heart. I love you, and you alone were meant for me. Please give your loving heart to me and say we'll never part. I think of you every morning, dream of you every night. Darling, I'm never lonely. Whenever you are in sight, I love you for sentimental reasons. I hope you do believe me. I've given you my I've given you my
The King Cole Trio with a number one smash from 1946, and I Love You for Sentimental Reasons, a song that definitely inspired this week's feature, Sonny Till and the Orioles. Now, Sonny Till was born Erlington Carl Tillman in 1925 in Baltimore, Maryland. He picked up the nickname Sonny from his favorite song as a child, which was Al Jolson's Sonny Boy. Sonny was released from the Army at the end of World War II, and he started gigging around Baltimore. Things really started to come together for him in 1946 while he was singing at the Avenue Cafe. While at the Avenue, he met the future members of the Orioles. In the spring of 1948, Sonny Till put together his first vocal group, called the Vibronaires. They consisted of first tenor Alex Sharp, baritone George Nelson, and guitarist second tenor Tommy Gaither. Johnny Reed sang bass. It was right around this time that the Vibronaires met up with Deborah Chesler. She was a sales girl in Baltimore and an aspiring songwriter. In March of 48, Chesler had her first song recorded by Savannah Churchill for the Manor label. It was Tell Me So, a song that would soon be recorded by her new group. Tell Me So didn't do anything for Churchill, but it would sure do a lot for the Orioles the very next year. Chesler became the Vibronaires' manager, and on May 3, 1948, she got the group a spot on Arthur Godfrey's Talent Scouts radio show. Even though the group came in third, actually they lost to George Shearing, they had been heard by a national radio audience. Shortly after the Godfrey show appearance, Jerry Blaine of Jubilee Records listened to some demos the group had cut and decided to sign them to a new record label he was forming called It's a Natural Records. Right before their very first session with Jerry Blaine, held in July of 1948, the Vibronaires got a name change. They decided to go with the state bird of Maryland, the Oriole, and from then on out they were known as the Orioles. They recorded six tunes at that first session, and later in July, It's a Natural Records released the Orioles' first record, a song that was written by their manager, Deborah Chesler, It's Too Soon to Know. It rose to number one on the R&B charts and a whopping number 13 crossover on the pop lists. And so the doo-wop era was born with the release of this record. Man, I'm not even kidding. This song was huge. I mean, it changed the course of vocal group singing for at least the next 20 years. Here's the immaculate voice of Sonny Till singing with the Orioles, and It's Too Soon to Know. I'm Matt the Cat, and you're digging the Juke in the Back.
Does she love me? It's too soon to know. Can I believe her when she tells me so? Is she fooling? Is it all a game? Am I the fire or just another flame? Oh, once I did love would break my heart. She may be just acting and playing the part. If she don't love me, let her tell me so. I can't hold her. If she wants to go, though I'll cry when she's gone, I won't die, I'll live on. If it's so, it's too soon, way too soon. Too soon to know. Can I believe her when she tells me so? Is she fooling? Is it all a game? Am I the fire or just another flame?
Oh.
If it's so, it's too soon, way too soon.
To Be to You, the Orioles' second single released in November of 1948. The Orioles are our feature this week on The Juke in the Back, 1940s and 50s rhythm and blues. I'm Matt the Cat, your jukebox operator. And a couple of years ago, I had the opportunity to speak to Diz Russell, who sang in the second Orioles group, formed in the mid-1950s. He knew Sonny Till well. I asked Diz if he could describe the real Sonny Till. And this is what he told me.
Sonny Till could do two things quite well. He could sing his ass off and he could get women.
Mm-hmm.
Sonny Till had some of the best method of getting women I've ever seen in my life.
Really?
Yeah, he don't let him run into a beer drinker because he'll tell the bartender to make her beer a little hot because he knows she's got to go to the bathroom. And if she's in there with somebody, he'll stand by the bathroom door. And when she goes in there, he'll say, hey, can I talk to you when you come out of there? Sure, Sonny. Can I get your phone number and so forth? I know you're with somebody. And I say, he struck again.
Wow.
Yeah, he was that. But he could sing.
Yeah.
And his niece came by here a couple of weeks ago. She brought his yearbook. You know what he had in the yearbook? What is your ambition? To be the greatest singer in the world. That was in his yearbook. She says, look what he says here. He wants to be the greatest singer in the world. I say, he damn near made
he
it.
He came real close.
Yeah, that's what I told her.
If you don't love me, tell me so.
Tell Me So, written by the Orioles manager Deborah Chesler. It was released in April of 1949 and went to number one on the rhythm and blues lists. Man, I'll tell you, at this time the Orioles just couldn't be stopped. And Diz Russell told you before the tune started that Sonny Till was a true sex icon in the late 1940s. The way the women treated him, he was on the same level as Frank Sinatra and Billy Eckstein, and later Elvis Presley. But man, could he croon. This next song was issued in June of 1949 by Jubilee Records, and it rose to number 11. Here's I Challenge Your Kiss, as we feature Baltimore's finest, the Orioles, this week on The Juke in the Back.
I challenge your kiss to make me love. Could I adore you more than this? I'll challenge your kiss. Don't think it ever will give any kind. That I miss. Can it be true?
that your kiss keeps love ever, ever anew. Oh yes, with you life is bliss. It's all that I could care. So why should I darling, I shall enjoy
Generous support for Juke in the Back provided by weekly sustainers Janice Stenhouse, Robert Stallworth, Barry from San Diego, Mr. Lee, David Ayers, Thomas Huber, Joe Metzger, Bernie Rossman, Barry from Riverside, and contributors Mark and Marion McAlpine, Ken Farger, Gail Kuntz, Michael Carey. Thank you for your support. More information at jukeintheback.org.
You're listening to The Juke in the Back with Matt the Cat.
It began, heaven knows, with a kiss and a rose. I remember it still, just a kiss and a rose. None but the lonely heart can ever disclose what it means to be left, oh, with a kiss and a rose. How she vowed to be true, well, she pledged me her love, and I know she was true as a star up above. But they made her another's bride at that wedding. I know she cried. Such is life, I suppose. Well, just a kiss and a rose.
They met her on the run at the wedding. I know she cried. Such is life, I suppose. Girl, just a kiss and another rose.
How she vowed to be true. Well, she pledged me her love, touches life, I suppose. Just a kiss.
The Orioles with another tremendous song released by Jubilee in August of 1949, rising to number 12 on the charts. That's A Kiss and a Rose. At this time, the Orioles are at the top of their popularity. They're selling out major theaters across the country, like the Howard Theater in Washington, D.C., and the Royal in Baltimore. And their records are selling like crazy and jumping out of the jukeboxes. They were recording for Jubilee Records. You see, after their first release, It's Too Soon to Know, on the It's a Natural label, Jerry Blaine decided to disband that label because it came under some heat. They thought It's a Natural sounded too much like National Records. So to avoid a lawsuit, he dropped that label and reinstated Jubilee Records and moved the Orioles over there. This next song, issued in October of 49, is one of their biggest hits. It rose to number 5. Here are the Orioles, this week's feature on the Juke in the Back, with Forgive and Forget.
Can you forgive and forget? How much longer must I cry for you? This heart of mine will die for you. If you don't forgive and forget, can't you remember and then give my love another chance again? Others make mistakes and then you.
The light of the stars puts a glow in the skies. The glow of the moon puts the stars in your eyes. Yes, there's nobody new, nobody who can do what your kisses have done. I'd rather have you under the moon than anyone under the sun.
I'd rather have you under the moon than anyone under the sun. Lights up stars, puts a glow in the skies. Glow of the moon puts the stars in your eyes. There's nobody new, nobody who can do what your kisses have done. Girl, I'd rather have you under the moon than anyone under the sun.
Yes, there is. Nobody who can do what your kisses have done. I'd rather have you under the moon than anyone under the sun.
What a gorgeous record. I'd Rather Have You Under the Moon from August of 1950. That's the Orioles featuring the great Sonny Till singing lead. I'm Matt the Cat, and the Orioles are my feature this week on The Juke in the Back, your showcase for 1940s and 50s rhythm and blues. And this next tune has been cut by nearly everybody. It's called I Miss You So, and we can trace it back to a fantastic version from May of 1940 on the Bluebird label by the Cats and the Fiddle, a group that was also a great influence on Sonny Till. Paul Anka, Fats Domino, and Little Anthony and the Imperials would make it known during the rock and roll era. But here's the Orioles version from January of 1951. I Miss You So.
Those happy hours I spent with you, that lovely afterglow, most of all, I miss you so. Your sweet caresses, each rendezvous, your voice so soft and low, most of all, I miss you so. You once filled my heart with no regrets, no fears. Now you'll find my heart filled to the top with tears. Yes, and along with you, and want you to. How much you'll never know, most of all, I miss you so.
I thought that you said we'll never part, my dear, and now I am longing girl be now. Well, I'll always love you and want you to. How much you never know. Most of all,
The Orioles with I Miss You So from 1951. You know, the Orioles weren't really known for up-tempo numbers, but they did cut a few great ones during their time on Jubilee Records. One of them was Baby Please Don't Go, and it charted too, topping out at number 8 during the autumn of 1951. I asked Diz Russell about the origins of Baby Please Don't Go.
Baby Please Don't Go, we had a guy in Cleveland, Ohio on 69th and Cedar, at a place called Jack's Bar, and he was gay. And he played so much keyboard, he didn't need drums or nothing because he kept his foot kicking into the side of the piano.
Oh, wow.
And Jack's Bar was about big as a closet, but people would come there just to hear Chickadee. And when Chickadee would be playing his little songs, going out, everybody screamed, Baby, please don't go. And Chickadee would do this. Dun, 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 you know, and be kicking the side of the piano and turn the place out. The tune was actually written by a lady down in the South. I think her name was Wee Bee Booze, a little small lady.
Mm.
And it was telling a dude, I think, don't go back to New Orleans because I love you so. Now it's time for the Great 78, where we take a thick piece of shellac and harken back to a time when 78 RPM records were king. And this week we're not only featuring Baltimore's finest vocal group, but definitely one of the finest and most influential groups of all time, the Orioles. This song appeared as the flip side of their 1949 smash, Tell Me So. It was originally cut by Bull Moose Jackson in 1946 as an answer record to Lucky Millinder's smash hit, Who Threw the Whiskey in the Well? When Bull Moose cut it, it was I Know Who Threw the Whiskey in the Well. When the Orioles did it in 1949, it was Deacon Jones. So here's this week's Great 78,
Sonny Till with the Orioles, and Deacon Jones.
Well, he acted like he didn't want to be saved. He tried, and he died.
Well, it was early Monday morning, and the church was very bare. The roof was really leaking, and the rain was everywhere. The whole congregation stayed at home. So poor Deacon Jones was left alone. Well, he was laid out in a coffin. Well, the coffin draped in red. But just the night before, they had pronounced the deacon dead.
Da, 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 da.
Little old lady sitting in the church, sitting in the church in mourning low. Well, that same little old lady who was sitting in the church, she jumped up, shook her head, shook her hips, and then she said,
"Fare thee well, Deacon Jones, fare thee well. Fare thee well, Deacon Jones is passed away."
Well, he was my old man for years, but he sure could shift his gears.
Fare thee well, Deacon Jones, fare thee well.
Well, this dog kept on the rain,
yeah.
And the rain done come down fast.
Preach it.
He left the coffin.
Tell him about it.
Saw the deacon laugh.
Yeah.
Well, the coffin began to rock. And the children run to hide. Well, I jumped behind a bench, and this is what
tell
I saw.
Tell him what you saw.
Well,
tell him.
Old Jones began to rise.
Hey.
Old Jones had bloodshot eyes. Well, he took a drink of rain and shouted this refrain. Where well, you gone below, you children? You gotta go.
That's right, you gotta go.
Fare thee well, Lord, you children, fare thee well.
Well, you thought instead I had died, but a fool you just laid here occupied.
Fare thee well, Deacon Jones, fare thee well.
Well, I'm the greatest deacon the world has ever seen. You all hate old Deacon Jones, I know, because all my chicks are in the teens.
Well, I'm the greatest jock, just love to ride the best. Don't want no hockey hop, that mess. Fare thee well, Deacon Jones, fare thee well.
You're listening to The Juke in the Back with Matt the Cat.
I'm Matt the Cat, and you're digging the Juke in the Back, this week featuring one of the finest groups to come out of Baltimore, the Orioles. Now, with Baby Please Don't Go hitting the Rhythm and Blues Top 10 in October of 1951, it would be almost 2 years before they'd hit the charts again. But even though their records weren't as hot, they were still selling out venues. But everything wasn't rosy for Sonny Till and the Orioles. Tragedy struck on November 5th, 1950. While driving home from a gig, several members of the Orioles were hurt when their car crashed into a drive-in restaurant in Baltimore. Tommy Gaither, original second tenor member, was killed in that car crash. Then in early 1953, the Orioles lost one of their original members as baritone singer George Nelson left the group. Turns out he and the rest of the group just weren't getting along, so he called it quits. Nelson was replaced by Gregory Carroll. Next up, we have the Orioles' biggest hit, Crying in the Chapel. It was a song that made them immortal, but it was also the undoing of the group. It was released in July of 1953, and by August it was number one for 5 solid weeks on the R&B lists, and it crossed over to hit number 11 on the pop charts. I asked Oriole Diz Russell to talk about what comes to mind when he thinks of Crying in the Chapel.
What comes to mind, it was not a romance song. It was a gospel tune. The guy that wrote Crying in the Chapel was from Tennessee. His father wrote the song, really. and he brought it to the Brill Building to hustle it, you know, to see if he could sell it.
Right.
And Jerry Blaine used to hang out in the Brill Building. All the musicians, Duke Ellington, Fastball, everybody hung out in the Brill Building. Mm-hmm. And he sat there playing it, trying to demonstrate it. And Jerry Blaine said, "Hey, let me see that piece of music." And he did. And "Crying in the Chapel" was originally a clippity-clop song, like "See Them Coming Down
the Mountain."
You saying he's crying in the chapel? It was country and western too.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Sonny says it has to slow down. I can't sing it fast like that. Now I got a tape of the original session. Sonny Till says, "Hey, you guys got to slow it down a little bit more. What are you trying to do, choke me to death or something?" They were doing "Crying in the Chapel."
Right.
Okay, so that's how the tune came about.
You saw me crying in the chapel. The tears I shed were tears of joy. I know the meaning of contentment. I am happy with the Lord. Just a plain and simple chapel where all good people go to pray. I prayed the Lord that I'll grow stronger as I live from day to day. I searched, but I couldn't find in the chapel where people are of one accord. Yes, we gather in the chapel just to sing and praise the search, but you'll never find no way on earth to find peace of mind. Take your troubles to the chapel, get down on your knees and pray. Then your burdens will be lighted, and you'll surely find a way. In the mission of St. Augustine, we said farewell, and we made a vow to meet again. Yes, as teardrops fell, but now I wait. My darling, where are you? Won't you please return to the mission now? of St. Augustine, I'll wait for you. And the vesper bells will chime their song just for us two. I'll kneel and say a prayer for that moment when in the mission of St. Augustine we'll meet again.
In the mission of St. Augustine I'll wait for you.
And the vesper bells will chime their song just for us two.
In the mission of St. Augustine, the Orioles' final charting rhythm and blues hit, a big number 7 song from September of 1953. Now, before Crying in the Chapel, by far their biggest hit, I said that that song, although it was their biggest hit, was also the undoing of the group. And you can kind of see that with the mission of St. Augustine. From here on out, the Orioles were recording slightly religious songs, trying to recapture the magic of Crying in the Chapel. But it never happened. Sonny Till disbanded the original Orioles in 1955. He then hired a new group from Baltimore, the Regals, to be the new Orioles. The late Diz Russell, who appeared on the show this week, was a Regal, so he became an Oriole. All in all, Sonny Till had about 4 or 5 versions of the Orioles throughout the years, up until his death on December 8, 1981. He was aged 56, and he died of a massive heart attack. Johnny Reed was the last surviving original member of the Orioles, and he accepted the group's induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in January 1995. They will always be remembered, along with the Ravens, as the most influential post-World War II vocal groups. The Orioles and the Ravens truly set the stage for the groups that would become doo-wop groups during the rock and roll era. I'd like to thank Marv Goldberg for providing invaluable information on the Orioles for today's program. And as I said at the top of the show, the Orioles inspired and influenced nearly every group that came after them, especially this one, the Flamingos. This one features Solly McElroy singing lead for the Flamingos, and man, it's a stunner. And one of the greatest examples of 1950s rhythm and blues vocal group singing. Here are the Flamingos, ending this week's Juke in the Back with Golden Teardrops. I'm Matt the Cat. Remember, soul, it's a feeling. Catch that feeling each week on your showcase for 1940s and 50s rhythm and blues. This is the Juke in the Back. Goodbye, everybody.
You but my memories. The reason you came was because of me. You made me sit right down and add up the scores. So go back
where you came from. She won't need you anymore.
I never realized that I was unfair to a love that was really sincere. I never knew how much you really care. So crowded room or busy street or a cottage by the sea, but until the end of time and throughout eternity, I'll remember.
Run out of whiskey and the women have all gone home. Thanks for dropping by. Feel free to let Matt the Cat know if you dug the show. Email him at mattthecat@mattthecat.com. Juke in the Back is recorded at Rosie's Juke Joint, located at the Stepping Stone Inn in Salem, Massachusetts. For more information, please visit jukeintheback.org. I'm Miss Rosie. See you next time on the Juke in the Back.